du hast mich, du hast mich, du hast mich gefragt, du hast mich gefragt, du hast mich gefragt, du dich am Licht gesagt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 295. I am your host, Cheapy D, here in Tokyo, Japan, and of course, we have the one, the only Wombat.
Coming to you live from Gamescom in Germany.
You're not in Germany.
You don't have to ruin the illusion. They don't know that.
Well, I think they know that. Okay, you're in Germany. Oompa-pa, oompa-pa, oompa-pa.
This bratwurst is amazing.
Boom, 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 boom. And of course, we also have the lovely and talented Shipwreck. Where are you, Shipwreck?
I am in email land because Gamescom sends about a million emails out.
Right. So does Penny Arcade Expo.
It's all happening at the same time. Like, I just like take 15 minutes away from my phone or my computer, and then I come back and there's like 20 emails.
Right. I thought that PAX was supposed to be, you know, all about like the gamers. It wasn't supposed to be like a big corporate event. But I definitely get more emails about come see my game from PAX than I do from E3.
Well, some of it, I think it's more individualized on the games portion. Like, for E3, it's like, we're Activision, come see everything. Whereas right. At PAX, it's like, oh, I'm this indie developer that's making this free-to-play browser-based game, and you should come see it.
Well, don't worry. By next year, there'll be a Kickstarter to keep corporations out of PAX.
This is going to be an empty room. Gonna be a bunch of dudes standing in a
room.
This
is what you wanted. Nobody's selling you anything.
Right. All right. Well, I think we'll talk about the Penny Arcade Kickstarter later, which ended today, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of stuff to talk about. We've been playing a lot of games. We're going to be talking about Sleeping Dogs, Darksiders 2, Papo and Yo. I mess that up every time. And probably a bunch of other stuff.
Dust's on there.
Dust, and yeah, there are games to talk about, just despite the fact that it's the middle of the summer. And speaking of summer, I'm leaving on Friday to go to the west coast of North America, my west coast tour, starting in Vancouver and then ending at PAX, corporate PAX. And of course, right in time with any airplane travel, I've had a massive back pain attack.
That's got to be all stress related.
It is. I know it is. I told you. I read the
just
book.
Chill.
Try. It's subconscious. You can only chill like after it hits, because, or I guess next time I have to tell myself that I realize that this is coming and try to psych myself out of it.
Can relax. The Tokyo American Club has the good foosballs now. Everything's going to be all right. You can relax.
I was like, what are you possibly stressed about, really?
I don't like air travel, and it gets me worried in my subconscious. You know, I get a little nervous when I'm flying on an airplane. I'm the guy who is white-knuckled on the, you know, grabbing the armrest really tight. That's me. I don't like it. So
that song's been in my head for like
days. And I'm the guy making you fly.
You're the guy keeping me safe, hopefully.
Hopefully.
You're the guy keeping me in the air. So, yeah, and speaking of Tokyo American Club, so I was there, you know, 2 days ago. Was it 2 days ago? I guess it was 2 days ago when my back pain really kicked in. Like,
I assume you were there signing copies of your magazine.
No, it's funny. So, yeah, I was in their magazine of talking about video games, and now people recognize me there. And I was, I came out of the bath. I just took a shit in the bathroom there, and I was coming out of the bathroom, and this guy was standing right by the door. He was, you know, trying to get in. The door was locked. And as I walk out, there's nothing quite so awkward as when you take a shit and there's a guy standing outside the bathroom, and then he's like, "Hey, you're from Cheap Ass Gamer." I'm like, yeah, you're about to walk into my shit. But he actually wanted me to record a promotional video for them. So I have to go do that after I do this show. But anyway, so I was over there with Ty. I spent a lot of time at this Tokyo American Club, which I don't even know if I ever...
Wait, a promotional video for what?
for Tokyo American Club to try to get new members.
It was an employee of there. Okay.
Right.
It doesn't matter how awkward you are. You could be a member.
Right. It doesn't matter like how awkward it is when people ask you what you do for a living and then you have to explain that you run a video game website. And then if that wasn't awkward enough, then when they ask you the name, you have to tell them that it's Cheap Ass Gamer. But so I was over there and, you know, the back pain started. There's always like some stupid trigger, right? So like I went to bend over to pick up like a shoe or something. And I just felt like my back pop or something. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. And I know, I recognize it's all from the travel stress and like that. And by the way, me talking about it right now is probably very helpful. This is my psychotherapy. You guys are my psychotherapists. So,
well, I am licensed.
Can you prescribe me some OxyContin or something?
Well, I'm not that. I don't have that kind of license.
Oh, you have the shitty license. So... It hurt, okay? And I was like, all right, here we go. But it wasn't, like, super debilitating. And then later in the day, I was with Ty. You know, Ty's home this whole week, basically, except for today, because it's, like, summer break from almost a lot of stuff is closed during this period. Anyway, so we're over at Tokyo American Club, and we're sitting down. They're watching Garfield. They have a little area where they show movies.
Which Garfield are we talking about?
The Bill Murray. Murray Garfield.
Okay.
Oh, the movie, not the cartoon.
The movie.
Not the Garfield and Friends. Okay.
I'm thinking Lorenzo Music, and it's Bill Murray.
By the way, did you hear how they got Bill Murray to do the voice of Garfield in that movie?
They paid him a lot of money?
No. And they sent him the script, and there were two names on the script for writers, and one of the names was Joel Cohen. And he's like, I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers, so this must be pretty good. It must be funny. They're pretty funny guys. I'll do this movie. And then he went to like to do the movie, and he's, you know, going through the script, and he's like, wow, this is really bad. And then he finds out that it's a different Coen brother, but he was, I guess, already agreed to do it. He still got paid, and the movie was horrible. So I'm sitting down and watching this horrible movie, and I go to stand up, and all of a sudden it feels like I actually went to stand up to go to the bathroom, and all of a sudden I feel like somebody hit me in the back with a sledgehammer, like the most excruciating pain you can imagine. It was so intense and painful that I immediately felt like I had 103 fever. I was just sweating profusely. I could tell that all the blood just drained right out of my body. Well, out of my face, at least. And I came like so close to just passing out right on the spot, right in front of, you know, these kids watching the Garfield movie. And I was basically propping myself up on the wall. It was really bad. And I figured I was going to be in the hospital, like, because I was about to just pass out. And, you know, it's one thing if this is at home where it's not as embarrassing and hopefully like I could get in contact with somebody, but I don't know. I managed to bring myself back from the brink of fainting, and then I just basically just laid down on the floor for an hour. Well,
in the bathroom of Tokyo American Club?
It wasn't the bathroom. I was still in the movie viewing
there's
area.
There's no like doctor at the Tokyo American Club? Like,
there's no doctor.
There's not a member there that may have been a doctor?
Maybe.
You could have said, is there a doctor in the house? Like but there was a Bunny cartoon?
I was surrounded by, you know, I think three kids. Ty and two other kids. And that was all that was in this little area.
Hey, it's Japan. A kid could be a doctor.
Right. Like Toy Man, right? He's a doctor.
Yeah.
So I basically just had to lay down on the floor, and I didn't know like what I was going to do because I was completely incapacitated. I had Ty with me. I was not at home. So I'm like texting with my wife while lying on my back on the floor. It was pretty bad. Eventually I was able to get up. I don't know. I have a mental problem, obviously, or more than one.
You don't have to tell us that.
I know.
You don't think the standing desk could be contributing to this, do you?
No, because this happens, you know, before I had the standing desk. It happened, I don't know if it happened this E3, but it definitely happened the E3 before. But I know it's all in my mind. Mind over back pain by Dr. John Sarno will help me get through it. It's already feeling better. It's just, it's it's so traumatic. It takes a few days to get better.
Has been the Back Pain Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Right. I named one of the podcasts.
You said it on the show, and that's why we named it that.
Right.
Have you tried any of those Shaquille O'Neal Icy Hot wraps?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had a product.
They're just like these things that you stick to your back.
Yeah, they have those here in Japan. They've had
that tape that all the Olympians use everywhere now. That does something, right?
Yeah, I'll be fine. It just has to get better on its own.
Sabrina, who should be sleeping, is now standing next to me. Do you want to say anything to everybody? Do you want to say hi to the world?
Any advice about how I can fix my back pain?
My friend's back hurts. Can you say something to him about his back? Can you tell him to feel better? Can you say feel better into the microphone? No, you're too afraid? Yeah. You know why? Because you should be in bed.
You better be afraid.
Go to bed.
Wombat's loosening his belt right now.
Take your teddy and go to bed, please.
So that's my back pain story. Hopefully, should be better soon. Don't worry. I'll be fine. I'm standing right now doing the show. It feels better for me to actually stand than to sit.
Well, I hope you make it all the way through the show.
I'll be fine. Anything exciting going on with you guys? I have some movies to talk about for Watch This Bitches, but I'm happy to hear if you have any aches and pains.
I'm okay. I got a migraine on Sunday, but that's okay now.
You might have the same thing. It might be you can get mind over migraine.
Oh, yeah. No, it's totally the same thing. But, right. You know, I actually have real stress.
Right. Right. I recognize that I have very little stress in my life, but I've always, you know, I don't know. I used to get really bad headaches when I was younger, and I went to the doctors and they gave me all the allergy tests and everything, and I had no allergies, and I was just like very nervous as a child. Like I was very concerned about what people thought of me, and I don't know. I just like things like that really affected me. So I'm getting better, I guess. It only happens once in a while as opposed to all the time. I need psychotherapy, I think, is what I'm really saying here.
I think we've spent enough time on this.
Well, there's that new Matthew Perry show. Maybe you should watch that.
Will that be healing?
Yeah. People get around and talk to each other, I think. That's the gist of that show.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I have two movies that I want to talk about. One actually, I think, falls under the category of don't watch this, bitches. It's called Melancholia.
Yep. Not going to watch that.
And it is the most depressing movie I have ever seen in my life. I mean, you know, the title, you would think the title.
Nailed it.
Right. They nailed it. And the movie is about, I got to tell you what it's about just so you can appreciate the depressingness of this film. So the movie stars, who's it? Kirsten Dunst, right? And she plays this woman suffering from depression. And it starts off with her getting married.
Why do you start to watch these things?
Okay, yeah, because I'm going to tell you. I will tell you exactly why. We watched the trailer, and the movie is visually stunning in a lot of ways. Like it has some really cool camera effects, and it's just like it looks very beautiful in many of the scenes. And the trailer is mostly made up of these scenes. And Mrs. Cheapy wanted to watch a visually stunning movie, so she chose this. I wanted to watch Elite Squad, which is this Brazilian action movie, but no,
I've
she
heard
wanted
of it.
To. So the movie starts off with Kirsten Dunst getting married to the guy from Eric from True Blood, but she's suffering from depression and the whole thing is a mess. And she winds up like sleeping with another guy at her own wedding. And just like the whole thing is just a complete disaster. Now, the main plot point of the movie is that there's this planet, Melancholia, right? And it's approaching Earth. And so people are worried that it's just going to smash into Earth and destroy all life as we know it. But the scientists are saying that the planet's just going to come right by us and everything's going to be fine. So here's some...
Who named the planet?
I don't know.
Was it the scientists or the people?
I don't know. But in case... So the whole movie, you're basically watching Kirsten Dunst be completely so overcome with depression that she can barely walk or get out of bed. You do see her naked in many scenes of the movie, which is nice, I guess. She has some large She has double dragons for sure. But let's just say the movie does not have a happy ending. And I, at the end of the movie, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, is this going to take me? I think my back hurts because I saw this movie, actually. I mean, now I'm worried about a planet hitting us and we're all going to die. And I don't know. Stay away from this movie. It's really, it got good reviews too, but boy, was that depressing. And a movie that I can recommend, which even though I've only watched half of it, but it's pretty interesting. It's a documentary called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. And I think there was a CAG member who actually recommended it to us. And it's about a dude who's really overweight and he's got like some skin, his immune deficiency disease because he's so overweight. And he decides that for 2 months, all he's going to do is drink blended vegetable juice and fruit juice for all of his meals. Not going to have any like real solid food. And it's pretty interesting. It makes me want to at least do that for breakfast. You ever do any of that, Wombat? Ever do any juicing?
Not really. I've had juice before. Does that count?
Like vegetable juice?
I love carrot juice.
Hmm.
Have you ever had good carrot juice? Fresh squeezed carrot juice is amazing.
I think like having that for breakfast would be a really good way to start the day.
I'm sure it is. I think they recommend putting like green fruits in there that don't taste good. I do like kale. I've never had kale juice, but I know people who I work with that drink that kind of crap.
I think you'll make really good duties if you do that.
I think you make super duties if you do
that. Yeah. Because there was a woman who starts doing it like just for like a week or so. And she said basically that she couldn't believe how much duty came out of her. So I'm looking. I think Mrs. Cheapy might buy me like one of those juicers for my birthday. So I'm looking forward to that.
You're going to use that for like 2 weeks.
I don't know.
And that is also your wife saying, happy birthday, fatso.
No.
Lose weight before I leave you.
I already did. I lost 15 pounds.
Not enough for her, it seems.
Whatever. She doesn't even notice. Let me tell you.
No wonder your back hurts. That's the stress. I'm too fat for my wife.
Dude, if I like shaved, you know...
Yeah, I got it.
I hate Japs into my chest hair. She would not notice.
She doesn't look at you naked anymore.
Right.
She's
that's
sick
what I'm
of you.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. She wouldn't notice, okay? Like, I could shave off, like, all my chest hair. Like, she would be like, she wouldn't notice. Right.
Trouble in Jap paradise.
Right. By the way, Jap is a very disparaging word. You should not use that. I'm allowed to use it because...
Because you are one?
Because I'm married to a Japanese person and we've born
and you're
half
a Jewish
Japanese.
And you're a Jewish American prince.
Right. And we have a halfling child, so I'm allowed to, but you guys are not allowed to. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I was making a funny joke, which also gives me permission.
Does that give you permission to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. How about some show feedback from last week?
Sure. I forgot we were doing a show, a podcast for a second.
This is really just psychotherapy for me. So
I noticed.
With a little bit of video game talk.
Okay. Well, Mixbot says, I have loved your show since I first started listening around episode 40 or something like that. In any case, I never stop by and let you know how entertaining your show is. We always look forward to the next podcast. And after all this time, I'm still learning more and more about you all. I just wanted to post a nice comment because people complain that I don't post enough nice things. So that was a really nice comment, and thank you.
Right. Wombat linked me to, you know, I read some of the comments from the show, but sometimes, you know, I don't make it through all of them. And one of the more recent comments on last week's show is, you know, one of these guys who's like, I'm not racist, but Cheapy's totally a Jew. You know, and then goes on to say how I...
He called you a typical Jew.
Typical Jew. Thank you. And he goes on... Yeah, I don't want to misquote this this awesome human being. He goes on to say, you know, you don't even... I like how on your show you pretend to talk that you care about video games, but you really only care about your money like a typical Jew. It's like, thanks for sharing that with me, Wombat.
But I'm not anti-Semitic because I like Wombat.
Right.
He said I was good at math.
Right.
Which is true, as far as I know.
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm all right at math.
I'm only good at counting money, apparently.
That's the kind of math you need to be good at.
Yeah, what a jerk. I banned him from the site.
I know.
And if you're listening right now, dude, I ban you from listening to the show. Turn it off immediately. You're not allowed to listen. Stop.
You feel better?
I did feel better. I usually don't respond to stuff like that, but I don't know. I had to.
I understand. Case.
You. Thank you.
This one comes from Kasim. Kasim.
By a vowel, Kasim.
Yes. I have to call BS on Wombat performing trick shots by shooting at all the letters of a Pepsi can. That sounds absurd. I was in the Army for 8 years and qualified with 3 weapons, and none of our qualifications involved shooting soda cans. I'll stop right there. I'll finish it up because I know you like the rest of this. I never said it. Shooting soda cans was part of a qualification for anything. I said we did them as tricks, which I think would kind of, you know, it wasn't part of a competition. It was, and for fun.
Right, I understood that.
Yeah, but
I think that's a pretty common thing to shoot cans. I've shot cans before.
Yeah, and it was just something
that's pretty much the tutorial of any game, is they give you a gun and say, hey, shoot those cans over there.
Right, of course. I think Wamba was just saying that's how he demonstrated his skills. He wasn't trying to get a certification in shooting or something.
Yeah, so I just thought that was kind of a strange comment. Although I applaud your serving in the Army for 8 years, you know, thank you for your service. But yeah, I have no idea what you were trying to say with that.
I think what you're also trying to say, Wombat, is that you're a way better shot than that guy.
No, I'm not saying that.
And definitely that you should probably come to Wombat's house with all of your guns to put on a demonstration in his living room.
Definitely, since I have none.
Right, yeah, bring a gun for Wombat.
Yes, exactly. We could duel. From now on, from now on, anytime Wombat drops some BS, Chibi should yell "pull" and make a shotgun sound like he is skeet shooting that BS out of the air, which is funny. I'll give you that. That's funny.
Yes,
but your point made no sense.
Right. All right. Let's move on to something that does make a lot of sense in a video game podcast: us talking about video games and the new releases for the week.
Sounds good. This is a surprisingly packed week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why everybody decided this was the week to release their games, but Darksiders 2, that came out. I put a review out on that. We talked a little bit about it last week.
I read your review. It was an excellent review. I enjoyed it.
It's a really good game. It's not like perfect by any means, but it just does so many things right with all the different kind of combinations of other games that it has in there. And it's a better final product than what Amalur was.
Like that becomes clear right away as soon as you start playing it. I mean, even because just the combat, I mean, I played about it, I don't know, a half an hour or maybe an hour of it, and of Darksiders too. But it just, the combat is just so much more fluid. It's just so much more interesting to look at also. And you can tell it just, everything seems to be implemented better so far.
I have my copy sitting in the shrink wrap in the kitchen.
Yes. You should rub it while we talk about it.
If we weren't doing this show, I'd be playing it.
Sacrifices you make.
I know. That. It's hard. Gives me a migraine.
I know Wombat's gonna love it. I hope you stick with it too, Cheapy, because it's kind of long. It's a longer game, but I mean I really enjoyed it. Like the dungeon, like it, just the mix of stuff is so good. Like you fight people for a while, and then you go off and explore, and then you solve some puzzles, you fight some more people, you get a boss battle, you do some side quests. There's just like there's so much stuff to do in that game.
I mean, in your review, you point out how they've taken a lot of mechanics from other games and sort of combined them into this one. And they've seemed to do it, do it well. Like, I like how there's a lot of loot in the game, but you know, just like little things like that you can equip right away. Just as soon as you pick up, it tells you while you're, you know, hovering over the item, it tells you if this is something better than what you already have. And then you can just push the button to equip it right there, all in one step.
Yeah, who was the developer on this?
This is Vigil.
Okay.
Yeah. You can also, on the loot, you can have it auto-pick up everything, too.
I saw that, too. Did you go with that?
I went with that because what you'll find is there's these possessed weapons that you can then craft those basically. So like if you found something that you're no longer using, but maybe it gives you like electrical damage, then you can apply, you can take that weapon you're no longer using, stick it in your possessed weapon, and then it gives you the option of adding electrical damage to that weapon.
It auto picks up or it auto equips or both?
It auto picks up. You have to equip on its own.
Okay. But then, so then you can't automatically equip it. Will it automatically, it won't automatically equip it if it's better?
No. Oh, it won't automatically equip if it's better. You just go into the menu and decide that on your own.
Okay. I see. I don't want to go into the menu, so I don't think I'm going to do that.
Okay. That's fine. I like all of the secondary weapons that you can use too. Like that really changes like the style of combos and how you're attacking and everything. Like you can use like big axes or like little arm swords, and it's just got, it's got a lot to that game. I hope it sells well because it deserves to.
Yeah, it does seem pretty pretty good. It's already, I'm more interested in that than Amalur. And, you know, I even understand the story. The story seems pretty simple to understand so far. So, and I know that in your review you said if there is a weak point in the game, it is that there just doesn't seem to be a lot of story.
Yeah, but, and what's there, it doesn't resolve a whole lot in the whole Darksiders, I don't know, universe.
Like, right.
They have, I mean, you've played as two riders by the time you get done with this game, and you figure there's two more riders. So.
Right, two more games.
Yeah, hopefully two more games, because this one's really good.
Yeah, I'm playing the PC version. It doesn't, I think it just seems to be like a straight up port of the console versions, because, and you know, I'm a PC noob, so our listeners can tell me, but there's no, in a lot of games that I've gotten so far, there's a lot of graphical options, you know, turning on, you know, anti-aliasing and, you know, different effects and things. And this, there's not. There's just, you select the resolution and you select VSync and that's it. Those are your options. So, but it looks good. Still looks good.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Fascinating.
What else we got?
I know you picked up Sleeping Dogs.
Woof, woof. Wake up. Woof.
Is that what the game's about? You have to walk around, you tiptoe around a kennel? Waking up dogs?
No, the game is Saints Row / you know, Grand Theft Auto, but in Hong Kong.
It's a serious game, though, right?
It's very, like, yes.
Okay.
You play, you know, this is the game that was formerly True Crime Hong Kong, that was Activision dumped it, and Square picked it up. And it's really solid. I mean, they've done, you know, they've just, as how Saints Row has improved upon the Grand Theft Auto formula, they're taking a page out of that playbook. I mean, they've taken the hand-to-hand combat to the next level. It's much more fleshed out. It's really fun. You know, it's similar to like a Batman game where there's counters, and they've added environmental attacks. So, you know, you can grab a dude and then take his head and shove it into like the fans of an air conditioner, and you know, the blood splatters everywhere. Or you can take his, you know, slam him across a counter and then pull down like the safety shutter on top of the guy, or throw him off a balcony. Or it looks, it's just fun. The hand to hand combat is fun. The game looks awesome. There's like a high definition, high res texture pack you can download on PC, and has a million effects you can choose from. And even Mrs. Cheapy, I turned it on for Mrs. Cheapy yesterday, and I'm driving around at night in the rain on the streets of Hong Kong, and it just, Mrs. Cheapy was like, wow, I mean, that looks real. That looks like I'm looking at something real right there. I've only played maybe an hour, and I've already gotten stuck on a hand-to-hand combat mission where I keep dying, but so far it
sounds like so much fun.
Uh-oh.
This game sounds like so
well
much
I just
fun.
Need to get a little better at it. So far I'm gonna blame it on my back was hurting a lot and I couldn't focus.
So you put an hour into both the new big releases of this week.
Yeah,
are you
that
gonna
maybe.
Which one are you gonna stick with till the end, or are you gonna go back and forth until you finish both?
I think I'm going to go back and forth, because I don't think Mrs. Cheapy, this is, I think Darksiders is going to be the game that Mrs. Cheapy will watch me play, because it's more of a, you know, she likes those action RPGs. And this one, although there does seem, there's a skill tree in Sleeping Dogs. So there's RPG elements in that too, but I think that one I'll play on my own. Sleeping Dogs, that is. So, but two really good games so far this week. What else we got?
Well reviewed as well.
Yep. I wonder, do you think Activision is kicking themselves, or do you think that this game, that Sleeping Dogs, isn't, even though it's getting good reviews, it's not going to sell well?
I would be surprised if it sells really well. I could see it selling kind of well.
I'm curious. I mean, because it's like, it's the summertime. There's usually
Square probably got a good price on it, and I'm sure it didn't, you know, I'm sure their investment in it may not be too crazy. So it may not need to sell that much.
Right.
But I don't know. But I don't know.
Well, but Activision likes stuff to sell gangbusters. And I don't I don't think this fit into Activision's plan, is what it came down
to.
Like, you mean it's not Call of Duty?
It's not Call of Duty. It's not Skylanders. It was kind of a failed franchise. Like, this was supposed to be their franchise that competed with Grand Theft Auto, and it, the first two true crimes just didn't.
No, they, I mean, they were really janky as hell, though, those games. They were really, they were budget. This, there's nothing budget about this game. This is a sweet looking game. I mean, and it controls well. It's totally solid. You could make the argument that it's better than Grand Theft Auto 4. I mean, even though I've only played like an hour. But
I'm not totally sold on the name. I think the name is a bad name to get people to buy it.
I agree.
Like, I get the name, like, but
you don't want to put sleeping in the name of your game, I think.
Or don't.
Especially not a game that we all fell asleep during a demo of.
Right, well, it's funny that, and then they called it Sleeping. It's the same with movies, right? You don't want to put bad in the title of your movie because it's going to be bad. So, you know, it's important.
I hope it does well because it seems like it's a quality title, but I'm going to wait until it drops in price.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a pretty good feeling that it will.
Right, right. It's but people should check it out for sure if you like these open world games and yeah. I haven't even gotten to the gunplay yet.
I don't know if I'm ready for an open world game right now, like of this style. Like Saints Row 3 was so good and it was so over the top that that's kind of what I want in my modern day open world game.
Maybe you should pick it up for PC. It'll be cheaper. I paid $36 for it.
I mean, I would have to do it here soon because after that, all the fall releases come out.
Right.
And you're going on vacation soon. So when are you going to play this game?
Yeah.
Right. I'm never going to. I'm leaving in like 2 days. But I don't know why I bought these games. I got good deals on them, though. Come on. What else we got?
Also out this week, the last Summer of Arcade game, Dust an Elysian Tale, came out. That game is awesome, too.
Damn.
It's a Metroid style of game where it's got kind of a Japanese anime look to it.
Yeah, it's very, got very fluid animation style.
Yeah, like it's gorgeous. Like the amazing thing is, like, this was pretty much one dude that made this game. And he had some help, like he had a co-writer, and then obviously it's fully voiced, so there was a whole voice cast and he hired somebody to do the music. But like this wasn't a game that was made by dozens and dozens of people. And it's fantastic. Like, the combat is really cool in it. You have, first of all, everybody in the game is a furry. Like, they're
is that a selling point or?
No, that is the downfall. Like, that's the thing. It has to, like, kind of leap over that because you're talking to, like, you're like, I don't know, kind of like a humanized
fox?
Bear type
fox?
Of fox. I don't.
Fox?
I can't tell what
I think
he is.
She looks like a fox. It's a she, right? Or is it a he? Is she
the main character?
Yeah.
The main character is a he.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at a screenshot. I thought it was a she.
The main character is a he. Your flying cat sidekick, that is I believe a she. And then you have a talking sword as well. And then all of the villagers are various like bunny people and other woodland folk. But it like, it's actually the story and everything is much, it like touches on much heavier stuff than what you would expect from the like these little friendly creatures. And it's pretty funny too. Like they do a good job like having humor, and the little flying cat creature, Fidget. She like breaks the fourth wall a lot. Like you'll be going around doing a side quest where you have to collect this guy's sheep, and she'll make a comment like, "Where did that sheep go that you just picked up? Did you stick that in your pocket?"
Right. Stuff is this like an action game? Like I downloaded the demo, but action, I haven't played it.
It's like Metroid, like the setup where you go and you get new abilities and you come back and revisit areas. The combat is, it starts off as kind of like you have a sword, so it's like just like button mashing, kind of like two different buttons do different combos. But then Fidget can spit out projectiles, mm-hmm. and when she spits out the projectiles, you can spin your sword around. And that makes the projectiles just fly all over the screen and kind of home in on enemies and kind of juggle them up in the air. And then you can jump up in the air and kind of use your sword to do corkscrews through them. And then like you get combos up into like over 1,000 hits. And like there's just enemies all over the place on the screen. It's really fun.
Cool. Will I like it or no?
That's the tricky part. Like, it's got a very, like, I don't even think the guy who made it is Japanese. I think he's either American or Canadian, or he had a Western sounding name, but it's got a very Japanese style to the writing and humor and everything.
Oh, you like, mean Ralph Nakamura? Is that it?
Right. That was it.
I'll check out the demo.
Like
I downloaded the demo.
Definitely check out the demo. It's like it took me about 12 hours to beat. So you definitely get your money's worth, like lengthwise as well. It's not one of these games that you beat in 3 hours and you're kind of questioning whether or not your $15 was well spent or not. It's got a bunch of like little like cool stuff for people who like indie games in there too. Like it has a bunch of characters from other Xbox Live Arcade games stuck in there that you can find and unlock.
Oh, interesting.
When you say unlock, do you play as those characters?
No, you just unlock them and then you can go to like a little house where they're all kind of hanging out.
Great.
I don't know. It's got a lot in there. It's got XP and leveling up and loot and small crafting and stuff like that too.
Is there a review coming our way?
If you check out your website, there's a review on the front page.
Oh, I haven't checked it out yet today. What'd you give
it?
I gave it an outstanding. I think it's definitely up there with one of the top Xbox Live Arcade games ever. Like,
oh wow, awesome!
Yeah,
it's not sad, Wombat. I wake up, I feed my kid breakfast, and then I come and I make sure the show is ready to go, and I do the show.
To be fair, I just posted it like an hour before we recorded.
I read it before the show.
Yeah, but okay. Whatever. You didn't just wake up.
You know, if only you had some sort of incredible device in your pocket. All right.
I didn't know it was there, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
I did. I will say, I can read the comments now.
Oh, Chibi doesn't even read the reviews. That shipper works so hard on the reviews, and Chibi doesn't even look at them. I read them. I just have to know that they're there.
I don't know what exactly the demo is, but I know the first time I played about a half hour of it and kind of put it down, and then because I wasn't really feeling it. But then after I came back to it, like I pretty much played through the whole thing like two sessions because it's really addicting. But and then I know the other big downloadable this week is the PlayStation Play game Papa and Yo.
Papo.
That's right. Papo.
Yes, I got an early copy of the game and I finished it. Did you play it at all?
It took forever to download. I've played maybe 15 minutes of it.
Okay. So, Papo, I did an audio boo review of it because I'm lazy and I want to do something, and this was the thing that I could do the quickest. It's a 3D puzzle platformer, and the best part of the game is really not so much the game itself. Like that, the weakest point are the controls and the graphics.
And graphics looked all right to me so far.
They're okay, like, right?
The animations are bad, but the
art style is good. Nice.
Yeah.
The art style is good. The animation is kind of off. And the actual graphics themselves, you know, they're kind of jaggy. They don't, it's not like the colors aren't popping out at you. It just, it looks kind of, you know, bland. But the art, I like the art style. The control also is not that great. But the best part of the game and the part that, you know, made me finish the game was the theme, the underlying theme of the game is that you're a child with an alcoholic, abusive father. And you
of course you'd love this. This is the type of movie you'd like to watch.
I know, it's like frontline the game.
Right. Right. Well, and you escape. Well, no, it's not. You escape to basically this dream world version of Brazil. You're obviously in Brazil, in the slums of Brazil. And you,
where abusive
you
know, fathers come from. Yeah, we got it.
Right.
Home of the abusive alcohol.
They're very popular there.
Yes, of course.
Great. Now we've lost all three Brazilian listeners.
Right. And you walk around through this world pulling switches and I quote unquote solving puzzles because the puzzles are very easy. You're basically just pulling switch, you know.
They're cool looking though. Like the yes. way that they kind of come, like you'll have like a flat wall and you go up and like pull on a lever and just like pull stairs like out from that wall.
Yes.
And it's very cool looking.
Right. Or you'll move crates around, but each crate represents like a big house. And you're moving, when you move this little crate, you're also moving this big house in a, you know, in one-to-one motion. And then you need to jump across the houses. But their puzzles are very easy. Like even for me who, you know, I'm not that bright and I was able to pretty much blow through them. I think, you know, if they weren't easy enough, there are hint boxes everywhere. So if you can't figure out what to do, you can just check out the hint and that'll pretty much tell you what to do. And I will admit that I used the hint boxes twice, I think.
Okay.
But
do you know there's like these little dolls that are sitting around? Do those do anything? Are they secrets?
I think they're secrets. I don't know what they do.
Okay, because just early on in the game, like I saw one off to the side and I kind of figured out what I had to do to get to it. Like there was a little bit different way of solving the puzzle where you could get to it.
Did anything happen when you got to it?
No, I got to it and I couldn't pick it up. I couldn't activate it or do anything with it. So I didn't know what I was doing. And then like a few screens later, I saw another one and kind of went out of my way to get to it again. Because I figure these things are... or something.
Yes.
And yeah, nothing so far. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. And if you, there'll be a very slight spoiler. So if you want to avoid it, just cover your ears for 10 seconds. But when you finish the game, there's a little teddy bear that shows up on the screen and he gets a hat. So maybe if you play through it again, all those teddy bears have hats on them.
Okay, maybe I can do something with them the second time through.
Right, I don't know. End spoiler. But what kept me going through the game was that I really, you know, I connected with the character that you're playing, the kid, and I, you know, you feel bad for the kid who's suffering at the hands of his alcoholic father, and I kind of wanted to see him through to the end of his adventure. I guess I wanted to help him, and I wanted to see what happened. So despite the fact that you know, technically the game isn't very strong, apart from the music is very good. I had this emotional, the game hooked me in emotionally and got me through. I mean, it's only about 3 or 4 hours, maybe closer to 3 before you finish it. And I would recommend the game based on that. And unless you have no heart, if you have no heart, then don't bother. Yeah, okay. I did fall through the game world at one point, and I had to restart from a checkpoint. And I read the IGN review. They gave it a 4 out of 10. They had a lot of technical problems with the game. They kept running into invisible walls in the game where they just couldn't get to where they needed to go to. It just for no reason. And then they kept falling through the game world, and they had to reinstall the game, and they had a huge problem.
There is a patch. Like it downloaded a patch when I installed it, so I wonder if that's been fixed now.
Okay.
because it's already on to like, I don't know, whatever, 1.01 or
right,
whatever happens whenever you install something on the PSN and you get ready to play it, and then it tells you it needs to update.
Right, right. So that's Papo and Yo. I mean, I liked it. I would recommend it. I would give it a very good, just because how often do you play a game where you are hooked into it emotionally? It's for me, it's extremely rare. So
it definitely has like an Ico vibe to it so far, yes, just from the early portions that I've played.
Yes,
they should have just called this game Wombat Don't Bother.
Maybe. Yeah, you would hate it, I guess.
I mean, think so. Do I smash things with large weapons?
No, you don't.
Fuck it.
Right. Mrs. Sheepy said that too about Ico, by the way. Ico, actually, Ico? Is how you Ico? Say it. But,
not in Ohio.
Right, right. I know. Ohio, all bets are off. All right, so anything else this week?
Let's see. The Last Story came out for the Wii. That's supposed to be one of the last good games for the Wii, I guess. That's another one of those RPGs that came over late. I don't really know much about it, but the screenshots look cool. And that's pretty much it. A bunch of Cooking Mama compilations came out as well.
Exactly. Let's move on then. Let's do a little ad for our friends at GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. That's GoDaddy.com.
I think we need to start looking for someone new.
Well, I don't know. If you have any suggestions, feel free to take care of it.
Maybe I will.
Right.
I suggested someone. You said no.
Who? A Fleshlight? I don't know, dude.
I don't want to know which of our listeners use Fleshlights.
Well, if you're going to buy one, hold off.
Right. Stay tuned for an exciting promotion. There's some freaky shit.
We could sell some of those zombie ones.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. When Wombat was suggesting Fleshlight, I think you told me about there's zombie. You can buy like a zombie vagina. Who wants to have sex with a rubber zombie vagina?
Aren't they all really zombie vaginas?
But of course they are. But this one, it looks like it's all
green.
Yeah, and they have robot ones and vampire one. Zombie.
I didn't really do that much in depth. I just saw the headline. And
I did. There is a lot of nudity on that site from real women, so I was checking it out. But I don't know about that. You really want to take that Fleshlight money? That dirty Fleshlight money?
Money is money.
At least they don't kill elephants, right?
Exactly. They bring joy to people.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't care. I'm happy to.
I was gonna say, because you've never masturbated in your life.
Not today. Not yet. It's only 10:30. Let's move on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. I forgot to mention this last week, but very quickly, Ty and I finished Lego Batman 2 together. This is our first game that we played co-op pretty much throughout the whole thing, and we finished it together. It was almost that Spider-Man game. I forgot already what it was called.
Friend or Foe.
Yeah, but we got to the final boss, and it was so hard. We couldn't beat it. And I was like, screw this. Lego Batman 2 is really excellent. It's a great game. Even if you've been turned off by other Lego games, there's just so much here.
Because you finished the game, and I finished the game, don't you find that they brought a lot of, like, some of those really cool characters a little too far
way too late.
Right?
Yes. Everybody comes in, all the, you know, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and who else?
And the Green Lantern stuff is so cool. I'm like, I want more of that.
Yeah, it was really weird how they did that so late. But all you need to know about the game is that you can be Superman and you can fly. And when you do fly, it plays music from the John Williams movie score. And really, that's all you need to know. And it plays music from the Batman movie, from the Tim Burton the Danny Elfman soundtrack. So that should be enough of a selling point for anybody out there. It's pretty awesome. We unlocked the Batwing too, we actually played more after we finished it.
Oh, there's a ton to do. There's so many characters to unlock.
Yeah, I unlocked. Yeah, I mean, it's a. I highly recommend the game, and it looks amazing on PC. What else we got here?
I went to the Best Buy sale on Sunday.
Yay!
It was just me and Elliot because my wife and daughter were in Boston.
Hate you.
They hate me. No, right. They were in Boston for the weekend, so it was just me and the boy, and I took him for his first video game clearance sale.
Wow, that's emotional, dude.
It was. It was a big day for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up Dungeon Siege 3, which I played about 2 hours of. It's all right. Now, Shipwreck, you finished this game, so maybe you can answer this for me. You pick up a ton of loot, but none of it is cosmetic. It's all stat oriented. Or you just don't even remember?
I do not remember at this point. I liked that game all right. It was fun. We played through it co-op.
Dude, you're not going to want to touch this after you see Darksiders.
That's what I figure. I figure I'll put in Darksiders tomorrow night, and I'll forget that I have Dungeon Siege 3. Yeah,
I think. What else we got here? A lot of stuff here to talk about.
Yeah, I put this on here about Dead Island and how it shipped 4 million units and how they claim that a lot of it was due to the co-op, that the most feedback from fans of the game was their favorite thing about it was the co-op.
Sure, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a fun game to play co-op.
I have it, but I never played it.
All right,
we'll have to make time sometime because I think it's
an interesting, you know, I think that we're. I guess maybe in the last year, 2 years, do we even want to say 2 years, that co-op's really been a thing? Or do you think co-op hasn't really hit its stride yet?
It's doing fine. I don't know. Like, there's some games that are good co-op and some that aren't. I mean, Borderlands is excellent co-op. Dead Island's excellent co-op. Some of these other games, I can't think of them right now because I don't play them because I don't want to play them co-op.
Do you think that more games should focus less on competitive multiplayer if it's not already established and maybe try a co-op mode a la Mass Effect 3 or even Dead Island?
I mean, that was one of my disappointments for Saints Row the Third is they took out the co-op. Oh, no, wait, did they? I can't even remember.
No, they did not. Because you came into my game.
They took out the multiplayer and they put in.
Because I got to play with two GPDs.
You did?
I mean,
right. You played together. Yeah, duh. Yeah. They took out the multiplayer and they put in they took out the competitive multiplayer and they replaced it with that co-op, a different co-op mode, where the horde mode.
What gets me with the co-op games that I like are where it's still just the main game, but I'm playing it with other people. Like, I'm choosing to play it with other people. Because that's what Borderlands is. That's what Dead Island is. It's like, this is a single-player game, but there's other people in it with me now.
I don't really
want to play a separate mode just to play co-op with people.
Right. This next item was pretty interesting, Wombat, I thought. This Dragon Age thing? You still there? Hello? Hello?
Hi, I'm back.
Okay. What happened?
What happened?
I had a child.
You had a child? Congratulations!
On the floor, it was a little messy. But
you need a towel?
No, it'll be all right. Sorry about that. You can understand.
Right.
We're talking about
the story about the majority of profit from Dragon Age Origins DLC was from the launch DLC.
Yes. And they seem to leave out some very important details from this. The BioWare people.
Mm-hmm.
That this DLC, you know, there's two kinds of DLC. There's add-on content. We've discussed this before. There's add-on content.
Mm-hmm.
And there's add-in content.
Mm-hmm.
Add-on content would be like the Saints Row 3 DLC that you could finish the game and then you would play it after.
Okay.
as opposed to add in content like the Stone Prisoner for Dragon Age Origins, where if you were to download and play it after you completed the game,
mm-hmm.
you would be missing the whole point of the DLC, which is to have that character in your 30-hour game.
I love when you create new game industry terms.
Thank you. I know you do. It is.
I do.
And I think that there's a huge distinction there. And it's day one DLC that feels more like a subtraction from your finished product than an addition to your finished game.
Right. But I thought it was interesting, and I guess it does make a lot of sense. I mean, it's pretty common sense. He says, this dude from BioWare says, he stressed the importance of day one DLC from a business standpoint, because obviously launch day, you're going to have the highest number of players playing the game. So when you have launch day content, day one DLC, you have the widest chance, the biggest chance of getting people to buy it, because the most people will
that content is necessary for your main storyline. Like the Prothean content in Mass Effect 3, also BioWare.
It's necessary.
But it kind of is.
It's important.
It's important
to it.
It's important to the storyline. The Stone Prisoner, the Gollum character, was one of the best characters in Dragon Age.
Right.
And they took him out. And if you knew anything about the game, you knew that the game was better with him than without him.
Right.
So you would feel like you were missing something. Like your package wasn't complete.
Same with Mass Effect 3 and the Prothean character. Obviously, Prothean, huge part of the game, given the choice of having this dude in your, you know, in your party or not, you're going to want him there from the very beginning.
Yeah, it's not like, say, the Shadow Broker DLC from Mass Effect 2, which expanded on the story that you just completed.
Right, it's one part of the game, and you do it, and you're done.
Exactly.
As opposed to have a character with you the whole game. Okay, what else we got here? Penny Arcade Kickstarter. They met their goal down to the wire, right?
Yep.
But they raised $528,000.
$528,000. Would you like to do a Kickstarter?
To get rid of the ads on the front page for a year.
Right. Do you think people even really realize what they're giving the money for, or are they just...
I think they just want to give Penny Arcade money.
Yeah, because Polly writes in and he said, so the gaming community collectively gave the immensely successful Penny Arcade guys $500,000 to remove ads they already ignored. Anyways, my question is, are gamers stupid?
Not all gamers, only about 8,000.
Are stupid?
Yeah, that's how many people donated.
No, 9,000.
9,000, sorry. 9,069 yes. gamers are stupid.
No. Well, I don't know if they're stupid, but they like Penny Arcade so much that they just going to give them money, which is, I mean, look, nobody held a gun to their head.
Nope. And if that's what they want to do with their money, it's their money. And, it's not their money anymore. That's true. It's now Mike and Jerry's money, right. So they could bully more people on the front page of their website.
Those are some angry guys, huh?
Yeah, right?
Why are they so angry? This is what's confusing to me. These guys, look, their job is pretty easy. And I'm not one to talk. I recognize that I'm incredibly lucky to do what I do for a living and to be compensated pretty well for it. And these guys are in the same boat, but even more successful. Even bigger boat. And why are they so angry? I know, look, they were bullied as a kid. I was not Mr. Popular in high school or anything. The girls ignored me until college, and they mostly ignored me in college too, but I was able to get some weed. So I got a little bit of attention, and I was in a fraternity. So they maybe thought I had something going on. So I was able to actually get laid in college a couple times, but high school, like nobody, I couldn't get a girl to do anything with me. But they always come across as so angry, and like I remember reading a review. I mean, not a review, an article, and Mike was saying basically fuck these guys in high school. Like I drive a Mercedes now. Like it just seems like such a weird attitude to have when you're so lucky to be able to do what you do now. And as Wombat said, like There was some recent thing that I guess Taiko wrote about. It was a writer for Kotaku, and he basically referred to the guy as like, you know, basically said like, of course, like game developers don't want to talk to you and they don't want to be in your, I think the quote was like greasy fucking clutches or something like that. It's like, why? Like you have everything going for you.
Yeah. Why not be a nice person?
Why not be a nice person?
Why do people have to pay you in order for you to say retweet a tweet of theirs you might enjoy?
I don't understand. But look, I mean, I think in a way I don't know how I would react if I was in their situation where I'm like, you know, while I may be like a C-list internet celebrity, I would say, you know, that they're A-list internet celebrities. So I don't know like what's that? You guess?
I guess, sure.
Yeah, I mean, guess internet. I'm saying internet celebrity.
Sure.
Yeah. So I can't really say like how my ego would be affected in that situation, but I'd like to think that I would be nicer and less bitter, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I think in a way, maybe this Kickstarter is a way for them to just, they're like, hey, let's just really see how popular we are. Let's show everybody how popular we are. We can get people to just give us money.
Which essentially is all it is, because those ads have, you know, they're not intrusive. The site's not going to look or feel any different with or without them.
And it doesn't affect the content at all.
And if their whole goal of this was, let's show everyone how popular we are by having people give us money, then I guess mission successful?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and more power to them. I mean, I can't fault them for it. It's you know, people gave them money.
Because ultimately, it's up to the people to decide whether it's worthwhile or not, and the people have spoken.
Well, 9,069 people spoke.
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
And yeah, it's only...
Is that a lot of
people? It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
People, I mean, and yeah, like Shipwreck pointed out, this is only... Basically, they're removing the homepage ads only for 1 year, at which point they're going to do this all over again.
Next year.
There's going to be another Kickstarter.
That's going to be the interesting one.
I bet you they do it again. These guys are heroes to so many people. So, I don't know. And I guess, you also get for the money, they also got Jerry is going to do cosplay somewhere. There's going to be some new comic strip, and there's a strip search web show as season 4 of their video series. I don't know. If people want to have lunch with me, they can just ask. They don't have to pay
$10,000. Is it
$5,000? $5,000.
Oh, okay.
I think. No. And chances are I'll buy you lunch. Unless you really insist on paying, in which case I'll let you pay.
Yeah, at the same time, I don't know. They have a lot more fans than say. I mean,
look. Oh, I mean,
I'm not saying that we could do it. I would never do that. I don't think we. If we did, we'd get $528,000. Yes, they are extremely popular.
We get $5.
I just, you know, other than getting the money, which is, I guess, enough of a point in itself. I don't know what the point was.
It's a really weird idea for that to be on Kickstarter too.
That's the other thing. Is what did they kickstart?
Well, I guess they kickstarted that comic, but all that stuff was added later. I don't know.
It just feels like it's not in the spirit of what that site was supposed to be about. But because it was so successful, no one would stop that.
Right. They knew. Everyone knew it was going to hit their goal. I mean, there was really no question. But hey, you know, it was their money. They're free to do with it whatever they want. I know that Shipwreck probably gave a lot of money to it. So, right? Which one did you get? Did you get the? Are you having them crash your birthday party? Or?
He's having them critique his novel.
His novel, awesome. cool. Well, congratulations to them. It was a success.
Exactly. That's all we can say. Good for you.
I don't even think I'm jealous. I mean. I don't know.
I'm not jealous. I mean, sure, I like money, but
I would like to have their fame, I guess. But
I'd like to have $500,000.
Well, they're not just keeping the money.
I know, but
yeah, and that's before taxes too.
That's true, and they also have employees to pay.
Kickstarter takes 15%.
Is that what it is? Okay,
some percentage.
So Kickstarter, let's assume they take 15%, which is what, $7,000 approximately. So they lose $7,508,000 off.
No,
the top.
What?
I'm sorry, $70,000.
It's wombat math time.
$70,000. I missed the zero. I missed the zero on my head math. My air conditioner.
Everybody's favorite
on.
Section of the CADcast when wombat does math.
Right.
Sorry, $70,000. Right. And 70,
my favorite wombat. Can I tell you my favorite wombat math moment?
Oh God, what now?
we were chatting on instant message, and.
Didn't I make a typo, though?
No.
Wasn't it a typo?
And Joystick put up a review for some game. I was like, oh. I was like, you know, I said, they gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. And Wombat wrote back, he's like, ooh, 70, a 70. I mean, ooh, a 65 or something. I forgot what he said. But he screwed up the math, is the point.
That's crazy.
I forgot what the actual numbers were. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
numbers are important with.
Yeah.
That.
How many employees do they have? Like 13?
I don't. Why,
14.
Why do we care?
14.
14. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Fine. Never mind. 400,000 divided by 14, plus lights and bills. It probably winds up to be very little.
And by the way, the Kickstarter fees are 5%.
Oh, there you go.
And Amazon takes 3-5% for the credit card transactions.
So about under $50,000.
They lose, I think, $300,000 in fees is what I'm coming up with.
Is that what you're coming up with? See, yes. now who's the one with bad math?
My math is horrible. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Any math on a podcast is horrible. I can tell you that right now.
Yes, yes. Anything else here that we
need
to talk about?
And I corrected myself, jerk face.
The Dream Team, the original Dream Team, is coming to NBA 2K13. That's exciting to me.
With Jordan?
With everybody but Scottie Pippen.
What the fuck?
What's wrong with, what's his problem?
That's the weird thing. Like, he was in 2K12 and 2K11. You could play as Scottie Pippen in those games.
Scottie Pippen walks into a bar. Bartender says, why the long face?
Very nice.
Thank you. He's an ugly man. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Is that why he doesn't want to be in it? Do you think he saw himself in the game and he was like, oof.
Yikes.
I'd be interested. Like, obviously, 2K went out and asked him to be in the game, and they presented him with some contract, and something went sour there. It was either not enough money or there was an issue somehow.
Maybe he wasn't good enough in the game, or he wasn't good looking enough in the game.
John Stockton had better stats.
And stocks.
And stocks. Stocks and stats.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish Pippen was in there, but they've just done a great job with the NBA 2K series. Like, they always add all this cool stuff like that fans would want. Like, I want to play as the 92 Dream Team. Of course, you can play them up against the current Dream Team.
I wish a hockey game would do that. But they don't make a hockey game anymore.
And who would be on the hockey Dream Team anyway?
No, I mean like the historical teams. Like, didn't they had historical teams in 2K12?
Oh yeah, they had all the historical teams last year. They haven't said whether those are in there this year, but I'm guessing they will be because they announced that Charles Barkley would only be on the Team USA team, like he wouldn't be on any other teams. So that kind of means the other classic teams are in there.
I would pay extra for that. I would buy hockey DLC where I can get historical teams, but
you EA need to have a rapper be the executive producer and then all this cool stuff happens.
Yeah. I think EA is really just focused on selling those fake cards, those virtual cards for real money. For the ultimate team mode, which
makes them a lot of money.
Yes, it does. This I thought was interesting coming out of Gamescom, or actually the thing's coming out of E3, but the embargo just went up. That Black Ops 2 is going to feature in-game live streaming and shoutcasting, where, like, you know, basically you can comment, do, you know, live commentary while you're live streaming a match. So, and this is from the console version.
Yeah, they had it live streaming today, and you could watch. It's on Xbox. Like, if you just go onto your console, there's like an application that you can load up and watch the show. And it's got a lot of cool features in there. Like, they had, I don't know, some some guy who does professional shoutcasting for a living that calls all these esports or whatever. He was in there doing it. And it was kind of cool. Like, they had all the different split screens, and you could change between which players you were following and everything like that on the fly with what they were showing.
Sounds like we could have fun with that, like a CAG night. And
well, the problem is you got to have one person who's doing the announcing and not playing.
Right. Well, Wombat doesn't need to play. He'd probably rather just talk.
It seems like a really cool solution for a very limited set of people that are going to actually use it.
I mean, Wombat could either play and stand still and try to shoot people, or he could talk about other people.
I don't want to do either.
All right. You don't have to do it. I excuse you.
I just know that I fell asleep twice watching that feature on Xbox.
Oh, nice. Sounds exciting.
Well, it's not that it wasn't exciting. It's just that I do not find esports enjoyable. Like, they just put me to sleep.
Hmm.
I can't sit there and listen to people commentate on what players are doing in the game, especially right. Like in a Call of Duty game. Like, it's just people shooting each other.
Right. Like, oh, you shot him in the head.
I'm sure there's, and like, they could cut away and you could listen to the teams talking to each other. And it was just like, look out, there's a guy down there or up there in the window. And then they like cut back to the guy and he's like, yeah, that's why they're so good. They really do a good job of communicating with each other.
Right.
Like,
I guess.
Well, okay, I guess. Like, I don't know. They're good at shooting people in the head.
Right. Sean and I wanted us to do a hype wagon, but I don't know. I'm really hyped for Assassin's Creed 3. Now what I do when I'm really hyped about a game that I know I'm going to buy, and we've talked about this before, is that I don't watch or read anything about the game because I figure, what's the point? I'm already going to buy it. Why just spoil it for me? So I don't know. But
I'm still more excited for Borderlands 2 today.
Right.
Today.
But are you reading anything about it? Are you like...
No, only thing I caught was that I saw the controversy about girlfriend mode, which was dumb.
And that was super dumb.
It was super dumb. And I saw that the fifth character will be... which was supposed to come out 30 days after release, may actually come out sooner, they think. Possibly.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because we just learned you're going to sell... you have to pay for it, right? I'm assuming?
I think you get it free if you pre-order the game.
Ah, okay. Let's see what else we got here. So at Gamescom, Sony revealed their cross-buy program, which I guess is the same as what they do now with the Vita and PS3, except this is for retail release games, not just the downloadable PlayStation Network games. So all PlayStation All-Stars, which is their Smash Brothers Brawl game, is going to be part of this program. Sly Cooper Collection and Ratchet and Clank Q-Force. So you pay one price for the game and you get the Vita version for free.
Great. I think it's awesome for consumers. I do not think it's good for the people making the games.
Well, look at it this way, though.
I think it'd be hard to get anything that's not a first-party game to do this.
Yes, it's going to be very hard for third parties to say, yes, we will take the time to make this for Vita as well, and we're going to give it away for free.
Well, so Sony must have to pony up some money to get people to participate in this program. I think it wouldn't just be, they'd have to give some incentive for third parties to do this, a financial incentive.
Sure, definitely. Here's my question. Sure, it's a winning idea.
GP has a question.
Here's my question. Yeah, shh. Uh-huh. So this time next, okay, I just revealed 1, 2, 3 games, right, that are going to be a part of this program. By this time next year, how many cross-buy games will be out there?
6.
You're saying by cross-buy, those are ones that you have to... that you would buy on a disc for PS3.
Yeah, and you get the Vita version. I'm not talking about the downloadable games. I'm talking about the retail release games.
I say 6.
I'll go 10.
10? Yeah, I was going to say I like Wombat 6. I feel that's six, really... Then.
I say go with 5 because it's closest without going over.
I will. That was my initial impression.
And thanks for writing was my name instead of your name.
Right. I don't even know my name. I'm writing these down on the spreadsheet here. I was going to go with 5 originally before I knew that there was 3 already announced, but I'll stick with 5. Fine.
The reason my number is so high is I think they'll convince some of this, like a smaller publisher to kind of go in for it.
To put some garbage games out there?
Yeah. And they'll, like they'll
Party,
have some.
Game Party 9?
Right. That type of stuff.
Yeah, 5 is probably too low, but whatever. I'll stick with it.
I mean, it's great for consumers. Like, does that make me want to buy PlayStation All-Stars a little bit more? I don't know, because I'm not that into it to begin with, but it's certainly a selling point. I mean,
sure. But the question is how many are going to really be a part of this program? And I think we can all agree it's not going to be too many.
And that really, like, it really cannibalizes the software sales on the Vita as well. Like, if you're just going to be giving away games for the Vita, I mean, that doesn't really get people to really purchase anything for it. You're going to have people buying the systems, maybe. I mean, is that what they're trying to do here?
Well, they would like to sell some systems. Well, you remember, the story just came out. The Sony Worldwide Studios president came out and admitted saying that getting third party, says here, quote, the quote is, "We're having a more difficult time than we had anticipated in terms of getting support from third-party publishers. But that's our job." For the Vita.
To have difficult? Like, that's their job have a difficult time?
No, well, it's his job is getting their support, yeah.
If, you know, if Call of Duty sells well and if Assassin's Creed sells well, then they're going to have an easier time getting third parties to port or to make versions of their games for the Vita. But as of right now, has there been a successful third-party game?
I don't know. They don't release the numbers. Sony doesn't release any of the numbers.
Yeah. And I don't think there's been...
Because they're so good.
I don't think there's been a Vita game in the top 10 since it's been released. Has there? Was Uncharted in the top 10?
No. I've already said there's never going to be a Vita game in the top 10. Like, that's just not going to happen. Just the way the NPD is set up now where it has all the multiple SKUs all put together. And then the Vita is just not going to have the numbers to ever get a game up there.
Right.
But... I mean, it's not that shocking that they're having trouble getting third-party support when the development costs for these things are just as much as developing a game for the 360 and the PS3.
And nobody's bought a Vita.
Right. Like, the install base isn't there for companies to justify spending the development costs.
Right. It shouldn't be surprising to this guy.
I think you need to read this comment from Buff Marte.
Okay. Yeah, you had mentioned this in our little chat room that we had.
I said the same exact thing this morning, which is why it's funny.
Buff Marte writes in and says, Sony should make an ultimate PS3 Christmas bundle that includes a PlayStation Vita and a cross-play game or two for $450. What do you think? Well, Wombat obviously likes that idea.
I do. I like the idea also because we don't know how much the Wii U is going to cost. So let's say it costs... What are we all predicting it would cost? Somewhere between $3 and $350, maybe?
$299.99.
So yeah, between $3 and $250.
Yep.
So $300, or you could get if you don't have a PlayStation 3, or if you're in the market for a new one, if you have a launch console that's noisy and dusty, and a Vita for $450. That essentially, I mean, the other thing they hyped up in their conference is that, you know, they may be using that Vita in a very similar way as that Wii U controller, but the difference is that Vita you could take out of the house and play Vita games on.
Yeah, all these companies are really good at making these crazy promises that never happen.
That,
like, do you remember
true.
When the PSP was first revealed and they were showing... Oh, look, you can use the PSP as a rear-view mirror for your car in, I don't know, it was like some F1 racing game or something like that. You know, that shit never happens. Or like using the, you know, was it even for the DS where you could use the DS with some connectivity to the Wii? Like, how many games actually do that? It's just they always talk a big game and the reality is, you know, nothing, basically.
I don't quite get, going back to this bundle, I don't quite get, I don't know. I don't understand who that would be for.
It would have to be a lot cheaper than $450.
It would be for Wii owners that never bought the other consoles.
But you're buying a PlayStation 3, which is
going
to be replaced.
Why wouldn't you just buy a PS3, though? Like,
because...
Which is going to be replaced in a year by a new system.
Yeah, well...
Well, no, but there's plenty of people that would... This would be a good time to buy a PS3.
Mm-hmm. The library is large and the games are getting cheaper because you also get a handheld in there, too, for a nominal fee.
I don't think the market's there for it.
For the people that were Nintendo people that have a Wii and a DS... And don't know if the Wii U is really for them, but they kind of like the gimmick. They may be enticed to
do it. Who are these people?
They're people.
Who are these people?
Middle Americans.
No, there's not. There's not middle Americans out there going, man, I really like what that Wii U is going to do, but I wish I could buy a PlayStation 3 and a Vita instead. That person does not exist.
That person might exist. I don't think it's a terrible idea. Right. I'm not saying I would
buy
one.
It's an idea that makes sense to people who talk about video games every day, but on a mass market,
it's a lot of money to lay out.
It's a lot of money when somebody goes, "Well, I could just buy a PS3 for $300 and be
or
set.
A Vita for $250."
Right.
It's a big investment. I see what you're saying, Wombat and Buff Marte, but it just once you start approaching, you know. You're approaching $500 with tax. You're basically right there. That's a lot of money in one shot for one present, you know, one Christmas bundle. So I don't know. Retro Ed writes in and he says, Need for Speed Most Wanted. The Vita version of Need for Speed Most Wanted is a near direct port from the console version and developed by Criterion. How amazing is that? I think I'll be double dipping. That is, it sounds cool, but once again, it's hard for me to get excited by...
Something you've already played?
Well, not something I've already played, but I'd rather get the superior version, which is going to be, you know, on the console or PC. Near direct is not the same as this, you know, doesn't mean identical. And certainly the controls are not going to be as good because you're just limited by the hardware. And I don't know. It's better than them putting out like a shitty version. I'm just not that excited.
I think the only way I would do this is if this is a cross buy. If this is a cross buy title where the save files sync up.
Yes.
Between the two. I could see that working then.
Yes, that would work for me.
I'm not going to buy both versions.
No, no. But now here's the question. So one of the the benefits of this cross-buy program is, you know, very often on multi-platform games, the 360 version sells more than the PS3 version. I mean, almost every time in America anyway. So this could be a way to really drive those PlayStation sales. And I think for me, that might push it my way too. Like if it was, they throw in the free version of the Vita. In fact, IGN asked this actually became an article on IGN. They asked a representative of EA if this is going to be a cross-buy situation. And they said they're considering it, but they have nothing more to say about it. And that became an article. That became the headline on IGN. Sony, EA considering cross-buy for Need for Speed Most Wanted, which is the dumbest article ever.
I think what EA would be considering is how much money is Sony going to give us compared to how many copies do we expect to sell?
Right, right. It's
because as a third party, it just does not make sense. Like the third party doesn't care whether they're going to sell more on the 360 or the PS3.
Right. I'm sure they make the same amount of money.
Yeah.
Speaking of Vita, a lot of Vita questions here. MJ Noir 1 wants to know if we think that PS1 and PS2 games on the Vita will make any difference on Vita sales. I don't think so. You guys think that's a big selling point?
Now, aren't we past that?
No, it hasn't worked yet.
But I mean, like, aren't we
we'll
past,
past that,
that as like
past
a
past caring
as a,
about it
as a species? Aren't we done with games from a generation or two generations ago?
No,
if that's the best,
still...
if the best thing coming out to you is something that came out 10 years ago, then it's time for you to find a new hobby.
Wait, what?
No, it's not. It's it
oh,
just
here comes angry
really
wombat.
Hobby. Yeah.
See, I understand why wombat is angry. I don't understand why the Penny Arcade guys are angry.
I like to think that the best games for the system are the games that haven't come out yet. Not to be excited about replaying a game that I played a decade ago
on a tiny screen.
I fail to see why that's something that needs to be done or something that people would care about.
People do, but just. Not enough that it's going to make a difference in sales numbers.
No, I don't think it'll make a difference in sales numbers. I think you should be more concerned and more excited about great games that are new that you've never experienced before coming out, and not concerned whether or not you're going to be able to play Final Fantasy Tactics.
Right.
Can I play Final Fantasy Tactics?
I don't think so.
You're allowed to.
I don't think you're allowed to.
All right, let's move on to what? To... Cagbag and show us your
the
tweets.
Chocobo section of the podcast.
Yes, a lot of PlayStation talk here this week. Red Devil Teacher.
It's hot.
they had a really good showing at Gamescom.
Sony?
Yes.
Yes. Mm.
Well, Microsoft didn't go to Gamescom.
No.
Wombat did.
I'm here right now, and it's
guess
hot.
What? Right. I'm sorry. All right. How are the crowds?
Listen. Wow, polka. Right outside my window. Good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it helps if Microsoft doesn't show up to the show. I guess it gives Sony a big, good chance to shine. And guess what? I predict Sony's going to have a really good Tokyo Game Show. You know why?
No one else is going.
Right. Microsoft won't be there, and Nintendo is never there. So, yeah, look for Sony to win Tokyo Game Show. Red Devil Teacher writes in and wants our thoughts on PlayStation Plus and the strategy to give away so many free games. I've owned a PlayStation 3 for years, and PlayStation Plus made me actually play it. I think PlayStation Plus is great. I mean, at least you're paying money and you can see sort of where your money goes as opposed to Xbox Live.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about it today, and it's PS Plus is almost like having HBO.
Okay, explain.
It's like it's not so much like Xbox Live, which... really doesn't do much of anything. Xbox Live Gold kind of sucks, but it's a necessary evil. PS Plus is like HBO, where you're going to get first run movies for HBO or games for PS Plus for an extra $5-$10 a month, depending upon what service we're talking about. And I think that's the difference. It's like a premium channel, and I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. I mean, with Xbox Live, all you're really getting is a smoother online multiplayer experience in terms of, like, you know, your friends list integration and you know,
well, without Xbox
like
Live
that.
Gold on your Xbox, you have no online gaming experience on your Xbox.
Right, I'm talking in comparison to the PlayStation, the free PlayStation service. Yeah, and so it's in a way, it's like, all right, so I'm paying $50-$60 a year for that. On the Sony side, I'm getting the online stuff for free. Okay, it's not quite as good as Microsoft, but it's free. But I can get PlayStation Plus and then get, you know, discounts on a lot of the downloadable games and also totally free games.
You get discounts because you're a gold member as well.
You do?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of the sales that they have on the games, those are exclusive to gold members.
The deal of the week is gold.
Okay, but not on new releases, though.
No. The PS Plus deals are infinitely better.
Are better. Yeah.
There is nothing about PS Plus that's not better than Xbox Live Gold.
Okay. There you go. Milky Man writes in and asks, how's the standing desk working out for you, Cheapy? Losing weight, back feeling better.
Didn't we already talk about this for about 45 minutes?
We talked about the back part. The standing desk is great. I want to say I still use it. And yeah, the back thing, yeah, is something else. But I'm like 193 pounds now, so I'm down like 15 pounds. Anyway, let's skip that one. Let's see. Okay, JMS493 says, Shipwreck, I remember you saying you got some fitness equipment, including the Fitbit. How is that going?
Well, we all got Fitbits, but I put mine through the washing machine.
Right.
So it works now, but the battery is terrible. I can't even get through a day with the my Fitbit now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I have to look to see if there's a way to replace the battery in it.
Just send them an email. They'll send you a new one, I think. People have mentioned that especially make sure you include your little on your email footer there where you write down your Twitter followers or something like that. How many Twitter followers you have?
What?
I don't know. Don't you have like on your email signature? It says.
Like, oh, that's just about the site.
Oh, it has the Alexa rank of the
site. Yeah, it has the Alexa rank. I don't sign the bottom of all my emails with how many Twitter followers.
Well, you should put the ComScore rating on there too.
Right. What was I going to say? You didn't buy any fitness equipment? Didn't you buy some sort of exercise machine?
Oh, yeah. We've got all kinds of those upstairs.
Do you use them?
No.
Okay.
Mrs. Shipwreck does.
You play basketball, so that's,
I do. I play basketball at least twice a week, and I go jogging occasionally. I don't like
jogging.
Working out on machines because it's just stationary.
Right. I watch Netflix while I do it. It's good. That's where I'm watching all these documentaries I talk about.
And ride a bike at the same time.
I didn't watch Melancholia.
Someone needs to save those little girls. Only 5 more miles to go.
Right. Rick F. wants to know about my Twitch TV streaming setup. It's very simple. It's just my computer. And I bought a Logitech HD camera. And then I use XSplit, which is the software. Which is awesome. I highly recommend XSplit. That's it. That's all you need. As long as your PC is powerful enough, you can stream it all on one box at 720p. Let's see what else we got here. I think that's enough for today, right, guys?
I think so.
We hit the hour and 30-minute mark and said nothing. So
also, it's hot in here.
Right.
It's hot.
Getting hot in here. Getting hot in here. Getting hot in here. Let me hear.
No, thank you.
I would like to remind everybody that you should go to GoDaddy.com for all your domain hosting, domain registration, and web hosting needs. GoDaddy.com. Get 10% off any order with CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order with CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registration with CAG domain. GoDaddy.com. And what? Follow me on twitch.tv/cheapassgamer. Follow us all on Twitter, GPD, Wombat5277. And Shipwreck, review us on iTunes. I know you didn't review us on iTunes. Yes, you. Go do it. Otherwise, Wombat will be angry.
Grr.
He's going to come to your house and shoot holes in all your Pepsi cans. And what else? So, I don't know when the next show will be, but maybe I'll bring a microphone. Maybe we can do something in Vancouver. And definitely if you're going to be at PAX, you should check us out on Sunday. We're going to be at the twitch.tv booth at Sunday at 12 p.m., 12 to 1 p.m. So please stop by and come say hi and touch Shipwreck. Shipwreck likes to be touched by strangers. So definitely do that. And yeah.
I'm the tall, bald one.
Right. Yes. So thank you for listening and for your support, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bourbon.
Look at all the people. Billy, what's the matter? Billy!
My friend passed out.
Help me get him up.
Never lift the head of a person who's fainted.
Airtight.
Keep him flat and raise his legs. Now loosen his clothes and use a wet cloth.
What happened?
You passed out. Remember, if someone faints,
never lift their head.
You got it.
Now we know.
And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Joe!